ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति 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 हरिः। ॐ ॐ मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् एज़ आल्सो स्ट्रेंथ एंड ऑल दि ऑर्गन्स बिकम वेल डेवलप्ड एवरीथिंग इज दि ब्रह्मन रिवील्ड इन दि उपनिषद्स। मे आई नॉट डिनाय ब्रह्मन मे नॉट ब्रह्मन डिनाय मी लेट देयर बी नो स्पर्निंग ऑफ मी बाय ब्रह्मन लेट देयर बी नो रिजेक्शन ऑफ ब्रह्मन बाय मी मे ऑल दि वर्च्यूज दैट आर स्पोकन ऑफ इन दि उपनिषद्स रिपोज इन मी हु एम एंगेज्ड in the pursuit of the self, may they repose in me. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. Studying the Chandogya Upanishad, after completing the 6th chapter, we have entered into the 7th chapter. The main purpose of the 7th chapter is to indicate that there is the highest happiness is called Bhumananda, and that Bhumananda is our very nature. That is why we are all seeking only Ananda. But wrongly we are seeking, thinking that we get Ananda in any object that we like. So even if we do not like some object, by avoiding that object, we are getting happiness. And by liking some object, by obtaining that object, we are getting happiness. So, to be and to know and to have unbroken bliss, that's our nature. And herein, in the 7th chapter, it is called Bhuma Vidya. How to attain that? When we say Bhumananda, Atmananda, Brahmananda, same terms. But when we say Bhuma Vidya, like Atma Vidya, how to obtain, what is that knowledge? How to obtain that knowledge, that is the subject matter. In the 6th chapter, we have seen it dealt with one of the Swarupa Lakshana Brahman called Sat. In the 8th, we are going to discuss the Swarupa Lakshana, second Lakshana, which is called Chit or knowledge. And in this chapter, we are going to discuss about, or the Sanat Kumara is going to teach to his apt disciple Narada about Ananda, which is called Bhumananda. Bhuma means unlimited, greatest. That is Brahmananda. Now, the speciality of this is purely psychological explanation. What does it mean? As we have studied in the Mandukya Upanishad, merge the waking, which is the effect, and every effect must have a cause, and the cause of the waking is subtle body. Gross, the cause of gross body is the subtle body, and the cause of the subtle body is the causal body. That is how merge the grossest in the subtler, its cause. Merge the effect in its cause, and merge that cause, which now becomes an effect in its turn, into its cause. We have also seen in the 6th chapter, three elements instead of five of the Taittiriya model. So it is Prithvi, Marj Prithvi or Annam, into jalam or apaha, and then merge apaha into tejaha or agni tattvam, and then merge the agni tattvam into atman. This is the process. This is one point. Merge the effect into its cause. Go on merging until there cannot be any other cause. That is called the ultimate cause, and that is called Brahman. Next point we have to discuss, very important point, is that at the beginning, everything other than Brahman is called Anatma, is called Mithya, is called unreal, but that is only for the beginners. In order to generate dispassion or vairagya. But if the cause is real, effect cannot be unreal. Milk is real, curds is not real, wood is real, furniture is not real, gold is real, ornament is not real. That is unreasonable and it cannot be accepted. It is irrational. If the cause is real, the effect is nothing but manifestation of the cause only. So that is an important point. But we should not forget what is the nature of this effect. What is the nature of any furniture? Wood. What is the nature of any ornament? Gold. But what are we doing? We have forgotten the gold. We are fascinated with nama and rupa. That is how this Upanishad starts the teaching by Sanat Kumara. Everything is nama only, and everything that is a nama, so there must be a rupa. Without rupa, there cannot be any nama. Like that it starts. So everything is real. The whole universe is real. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. There cannot be another reality called this world. So when we say jagat mithya, it means jagat is Brahman only. But until we become Brahman, we cannot understand the world is also Brahman. This is a fundamental psychological law. Whatever we are, what we think is real, and we see everything else also in that light only. For example, if I think my reality is the body, I only perceive everything in the light, everything is a body. But if I think I am in me, the reality is thought, mind, then I will look upon everybody as thought only. So this is the psychological fact. Whatever I think is real, my reality defines the reality of whatever I am experiencing it. If we reverse this law, what happens? If we say, Jagat is mithya, but I am satyam, a contradiction will come. But that should not come, because there is no correlation between truth and untruth, real and unreal. If I am real, world also is real. If the world is real, I am also real. Each reciprocates, strengthens each other. This is a dependent factor in the subject and object. Without object, there is no subject. Without subject, of course, there is no object. And that is what mainly in this chapter Sanat Kumara is going to teach. Everything is nothing but Brahman, and you are that Brahman. This is the goal. How to reach that goal? So ultimately, this chapter is expounding Bhumananda, Brahmananda, or Atmananda. Now, one of the biggest questions is that where is this Atmananda or Brahmananda? If Brahmananda alone is there, I should be able to see it. Am I experiencing Brahmananda? Yes, there is no other source of Ananda excepting Brahman. But why am I not able to see this Brahmananda? Just as I see a sweet or a furniture or an ornament, that is, as an object. Because objectification really means limitation. Form is limited, name is limited, and object is limited. Another name for limitation is called object. So, I, the subject, is constant and every object comes and goes. That means it changes, but I do not change. I see a table, I see an ornament, I see a cow, I see a man. Whatever I am experiencing, this unchanging, continuous I consciousness is there. But objects are changing. So what is the point? Is Atmananda. You are that Atmananda. What does the scripture tell to this question? Where is this Atmananda? Don't search for Atmananda. Because it is like a musk deer searching for the source of musk. It is itself. So I am searching for myself. But am I really searching for myself? In the beginning, no. I am only searching for my limited self, my body, my mind, etc. So the answer to this question, why am I not crystal clearly able to see Atmananda as I see another man, another tree, etc.? Because the self cannot be seen. For that, the scripture gives a beautiful example. We can see everybody's face, but we cannot see our own face. So if we want to see our own face, then we have to bring a mirror and then see the reflection. If we stand in front of it, if light is there and the mirror is clean, then we see the reflection. Oh, this is how I look. What is a photograph? It is only a representation, that's all, like the reflection. Just like that, Atmananda, all the time, I am there. I know my face is there, but I cannot see it. So, if we apply this analogy, all the time, what am I enjoying? Only I am enjoying Atmananda, my own bliss. How do I know that? So, when I eat some nice food, I seem to be happy. So, it looks as if that food is giving me happiness. No, food doesn't give happiness. The happiness, what does the food do? It removes the curtain that stands because of my ignorance between my ego and the reflection of this Atmananda. Remember, mind is that only reflected. So how do we know? Sri Ramakrishna gives two beautiful examples. One is a camel is eating thorny bush and the thorns prick the gums of the camel and blood is coming out and the camel in its foolishness relishes and says, oh, how tasty these thorns are, not realizing the blood is coming from its own mouth. It is enjoying its own blood. Thank God it is not going out. So this is one example. What is the other example that Sri Ramakrishna gives all the time? That Sushupti, in Sushupti, there is no object. When there is no object, there is no subject also. When there is no subject and object, duality disappears. When duality disappears, what remains is Advaita. And that is why what is the proof that we are experiencing bliss or ananda? Several times I have mentioned that one. Forgetfulness of time, space and causation is called ananda. And intense remembrance, awareness of time, space and causation, that is called dukkha. When my hand is burning because of hot water, and every millisecond becomes intolerable, I am acutely conscious of passage of time. Similarly, when I am waiting for a bus and I have an urgent work, I have to reach some place very urgently, we will see that every millisecond, why is there not this wretched train coming, wretched bus not coming, etc. Even in aeroplanes also, we become extremely restless. So, when we are unhappy, we are acutely aware of unhappiness. When we are having happiness, what happens? Time passes. 6 hours. Do we experience 6 hours of Sushupti? The answer is no.
because there is no time. You can't even say 1 second. But because our experience is objective experience, upon waking up, oh, I slept 6 hours like a piece of log and I was not aware of time. So, kam aham asvapsam nakinchit avedisham. But the point we have to understand is such a bliss can never come for such a long time. You eat, it is momentary. Do anything, it is momentary. The highest pleasure in this world is only momentary. The moment food touches, sweet or sour or whatever, it is only very momentary. Next minute it is gone. But the Sushupti Ananda continues. Remember, supposing this Sushupti continues for 60 years. There is a story of, I think, Netherlands story, Rip Van Winkle. 60 years he slept. A young man, for some reason he slept. After 60 years he woke up and he found himself an old man. And then he saw the whole world has changed. For 60 years, we say 60 years. And then that person says, 60 years passed. It is only upon waking up. We do not discuss about time-space causation during this Sushupti. So whether it is Brahma, it is said, sleeps for 1,000 yugas. Is Brahma aware that I have slept such a long time? No. Simply, it is time doesn't exist. Where time doesn't exist, that is called Ananda. Where there is Ananda, the counting of time doesn't exist at all. That is a very important point. And that's why Sushupti is a grand model for this concept of Ananda. What is the model? There is no object. We think that without object, there cannot be any Ananda. But then, what does an object do? It acts like a mirror. And then, here also some wonderful concept is involved. If it is a nice food that you relish, it is a better mirror. If it is a food which is okay, that is like a middle class mirror. And if you don't like something, that is called a very unclean mirror. Some reflection is there, but not at all clear. So, only every object, that means the whole universe, is only a gigantic mirror. And this is what perhaps Shankaracharya wants to convey to us in Dakshinamurti Stotram. Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari tulyam nijantargatam. The whole universe is nothing but a reflection in a mirror. And what is the mirror in this instance? Our mind is the mirror. And what is the reflection? All the thoughts. And what are all the thoughts called? Nama. Names. Nothing else. Vacharambanam. Vikaro namadeyam. Mrittika ityeva satyam. I hope you remember it from our last chapter's class. So the 7th chapter proposes to show that by following this whole universe, where we are, wherever we are standing, so there are grades of reality. It is not mithya. And another meaning of mithya is grades of reality. Lowest reality is the greatest mithya. And less gross is a slightly clean mithya, etc. Or a mirror, better mirror. So, nothing is unreal. The whole body is real. Mind is real. But this we will understand only after realizing Brahman. Until that time, we do not deny the reality of the world, but we transcend the limits. And this transcending the limits, like climbing a staircase that leads us to the roof, is the process adopted here. So, as I mentioned this story, Narada, a great sage, knowledgeable person, walking encyclopedia, but he doesn't know Atman, but he was a great pandit. He mastered everything, approached, and then he asked Sanat Kumara that, please teach me. And then Sanat Kumara, naturally, what is it you want to learn? Now you tell me what you have learned and I will tell you what you need to learn. And then he says the whole encyclopedia he recites, which we will enter later on. So and then Narada himself was a sage. Sage means highly intellectual person, medhavi, purushaha, panditaha medhavi. As we have seen in the last chapter, like in the example of a blindfolded person, he gets a teacher and he must be a medhavi and a pandita. Pandita and medhavi. Pandita is the person who can master everything. Medhavi is a person who can discriminate what he had mastered. Mere knowledge, accumulation of knowledge will not do. So Narada was such a person. And then Sanat Kumara starts teaching. And as I said, a psychological process. What is this blessed psychological process? From Karya, you lead to Karana. We have already discussed this subject. Our whole life is nothing but Karana Karya Sambandha. We catch hold of the effect and go to the cause. So like that, we just moving from lower level to the next higher level, from there to the next higher level. And I also mentioned in Taittiriya Upanishad, Bhriguvalli, when the Bhrigu approached Varuna, teach me Brahman, says, go and do tapasya, but this, that which is the self. What is the self? From where the whole creation has come, in whom the whole creation is living, and unto whom the whole creation will return later on, that is Tad Brahma, tapasa Brahma vijignasasva, tapo brahmeti, satapo tapyata. And then Bhrigu, just following the directions, go this way. He does tapasya and then he understands. Annam brahmeti vyajanat. The whole gross universe is nothing but Brahman. But then as he reached Brahman, no. Why do you say so? Because this Anna Brahma is highly limited. Then he says, I am not getting what I am seeking. I want infinite happiness. But here this gives both happiness and unhappiness. That's not what I am seeking. Then is there a cause? So he approaches his father. Please teach me. I learned that Annam Brahmeti Vyajanat. The whole gross universe is nothing but Brahman. Virat Brahman. And father says, Eto vai imani bhutani jayante, ena bhutani jivante, yat prayanti abhisam vishanti iti. And he goes back, do tapasya. And this time he realized, what did he realize? This whole Anna Brahma is only an effect. And by law, an effect must have its cause. What is the cause? Prana. And then gradually, prana becomes the atma. And this, that is, the Anna or physical gross universe becomes the anatma, means only an effect. And then he does tapasya again. Then mind becomes Brahma, reality. And that includes both the Anna Brahma, Prana Brahma. Then he realizes Vijnana Brahma. Vijnanam Brahmeti Vyajanat. Vyajanat means realized. Realized means this Vijnanam is Brahman. That is the truth. That is the reality. Then all the lower things are included in it, but they become secondary. Then he moves from Vijnanam to Anandamayam. Is this the final? No, that's also not the final. Then he moves into the beyond that, which cannot be described. So that is called Brahma Puchyam Pratishtha. So everything is nothing but Brahman, but limited by Maya. Maya is nothing but time, space and causation. So this is how the process continues. This is the exact process here, only in 15 steps. So what are those 15 steps? From the lowest reality to the highest reality, slowly you do upasana. Nama brahmeti, nama brahma iti upasita. Then vag brahmeti upasita. And mano brahmeti upasita, etc. This time giving an introduction so that you know where we are leading. So first is nama. And nama we think Nama is the Brahman, and so long as we think Nama is Brahman, we don't feel any curiosity to know its cause, because we think this is the final. But after some time, we realize Nama is only an effect. What is the cause? Walk, speech. And then gradually we start climbing. So what is the speech? Effect. What is the cause? Mind. What is the cause of mind? Will, sankalpa. What is the cause of sankalpa? Chittam, memory. What is the cause of chittam? Then dhyanam. What is the cause of dhyanam? Vijnanam. What is the cause of vijnanam? Balam. What is the cause of balam? Annam. What is the cause of annam? Apaha, water. What is the cause of apaha? Heat, tejaha. What is the cause of teja? Akashaha. What is the cause of akasha? Memory, smaraha. What is the cause of memory? Hope, asha. And what is the cause of hope? Life, pranaha. And what is that pranaha? That is called Brahman. Do not be deceived by telling that, oh, annam is Brahman, then water is Brahman, tejas is Brahman, and akasha is Brahman. Earlier we have seen in the sixth, only three elements are mentioned. Here akasha is also added, vayu is skipped. But memory, smaraha, asha, pranaha. Here prana means parabrahman only, equated with. So let us not be deceived. These are ordinary things. What is the point? The illustrations given here serve to help the aspirant to ascend from wherever one stands, step by step, progressing gradually from the gross categories to subtle categories to the highest sovereignty in self-realization, which is beyond the instruments called sthula sarira, sukshma sarira, karana sarira, or beyond jagradavastha, swapnavastha, and sushuptiavastha, which is called Turiyavastha. The method followed here, however, gives one a scale of values by which each level of reality is shown to possess greater value and magnitude than the one mentioned earlier. For example, so walk, speech, is greater in magnitude, in greatness, than nama, information. So like that, the higher one includes the lower one, and much subtler, much more pervasive. That is a very important word, pervasive. So the more subtle, the more pervasive. So this is how steps are leading. So here are a few examples just where we are going to lead. This introduction, if you listen carefully, helps us to grasp this chapter very, very easily. So first is Nama. What is Nama? Information. The text begins with, we know the Narada. Sanat Kumara explains that even though you are a walking encyclopedia of knowledge, all your knowledge merely is information, theoretical information without deep understanding. And Sri Ramakrishna, perhaps Sri Ramakrishna's illustration helps us. There was a great pandit, and one day he needed to cross a river, and he was alone sitting. Perhaps he was a stupid pandit. Nobody could really appreciate his panditya, excepting then he wanted to show, at least this fellow cannot contribute my knowledge. He asked, have you studied Vyakarana? This fellow was absolutely illiterate fellow. He only knows how to row the boat. So he was startled. Said, sir, what is that animal? I never heard its name. How does a person know what is Vyakarana? You talk to a baby, do you know Vyakarana? You look blank. Which chocolate are you referring to? So this pandit asked a second question. Have you studied Kavya? And that fellow became even less egotistic. Even boatmen also can have a lot of ego, you know. So he said, I never even heard about it, this name, Kavya. Then, have you studied Vedanta? No. And with each no, the pandit's egotism started growing and growing and growing. If he was a really pandita, he would never have had this kind of conversation. Then, meanwhile, the boat reached mid-river and a great storm arose and the boat was about to capsize. The boatman asked one simple question, "Sir, do you know how to swim?" Pandit never had to swim, you know. He said, "No, no, I don't know anything." So, at each reply of the boatsman, the Pandit was telling, "1/4 of your life is wasted. 1/2 of your life is wasted. 3/4 of your life is wasted." The fourth question was by the boatsman, "Do you know how to swim?" And this fellow said, "No." And the boatsman said, "Your whole life is wasted. This is a marvelous story. And that illustrates for us the content of what we are going to study." But then Sanat Kumara says, Narada's, all the knowledge of Narada is merely nama, theoretical information without any understanding. While such knowledge has its place as a starting point, it cannot lead to ultimate freedom because it remains external to one's true self. A profound truth is pointed out here. Unless you become a true pandit, obtain true panditya, information is not going to save us at all. So, that is what Sri Ramakrishna says. Pandits are like vultures. You know that story. I am not going to repeat it. So, information is useless. Is it really useless? No. But it is the starting point because if you don't have information, supposing you don't have information, there is a subject called Vedanta. Vedanta means study of the Upanishads, and Upanishads are plenty. Chandogya is one of the Upanishads. You must have that beautiful concept, information. Then only you feel curiosity. Perhaps I have to study it. Perhaps it can help me. And if you analyze, that is how you are attending the classes. This is the truth. Then, is there higher than information? Yes, speech. Because without speech, if somebody doesn't express, then we will not know even the nama. As a baby, how do you know this is a dog? How do you know this is A or B? Somebody has to explain. This is the alphabet called A or B. Without speech, just imagine, nobody has the power of speech. Then this world, where it will be what it was 10,000 years back. Not 1 millicentimeter, it will progress. And speech is an effect. Speech can come only when there is thinking. That thinking is called manas, manana. Manana means deep thinking. Superior to speech is the mind. And it contains both speech and name. And then this manana comes only, mind comes only through sankalpa. If you have not determined, "I want to think about this subject," then you will never get that knowledge. So sankalpa is greater than even mind. It is called willpower, but sankalpa is a beautiful word, which of course we will explain in a little more detail in future. But sankalpa will come only when there is memory, chitta. Chitta is called memory. Chitta is called the storehouse of memory. So, supposing you don't remember, you have eaten a very good sweet, then your mind will not think about it. Think carefully. Whatever thought comes to your mind, why did that particular thought come suddenly? Because you remembered something. You saw something. It reminded you of something. The smriti has come. And then you start thinking. Memory. But memory is only an effect. But what is, how does memory come? Because dhyana, concentration. Because you will have to repeat again. Otherwise, the students, they know everything. They have not done dhyana. And therefore, what happens? They cannot write the examination properly. Because there is no memory. Why is there no memory? Because what is dhyana? Memorizing and thinking about it, concentrating upon it again and again and again, then the memory becomes very strong. Wonderful points, but I'm only giving a foresight what is going to come. But even then, dhyana is possible only when there is a vijnana, vishesha jnana, that is understanding. If I do this dhyana, then it will lead me to something greater. But greater than even this vijnana is balam. If a weak person doesn't remember anything. Remember the story of the Shvetaketu. 15 days, you don't eat food, come back and recite all the Vedas. Nothing came to the mind because there was no balam, etc. So this is just a glimpse, a short glimpse, what is we are going to study. Now, certain key principles, and progress is always hierarchical. Means what? Step one, from one first step to second step, second to third, nobody can cross these things. Second, no one can progress in spiritual life unless each level is mastered, like climbing a staircase to reach the roof. That is what Sri Ramakrishna says. A person wanted to know what is the material, what is the nature of the material of which the house is made of. And he doesn't understand. So he climbs, he goes to the roof. Here roof means what? Roof means the cause of all causes. Not merely, even if a stupid fellow climbs to the roof, and nothing will happen to him. But by understanding the roof, here means the highest cause, causeless cause, then he understands. The whole house is made up of the same material of that which roof is made of. That means the whole world is nothing but Brahman. But unless one reached Brahman, until one reached Brahman, this world is Brahman, that cannot be understood. So each level must be fully mastered before ascending to the next. In fact, if we do not master, just like a pupil cannot enter into the second class unless he passes the very first class. He cannot enter into the third unless he passes the second class, like that. So from nursery, kindergarten, nursery, middle school, high school, college, then university, then PhD, same process here also. Each level must be fully measured. Then one point may come, lower levels are not made unreal, they are not rejected, but they are integrated into higher understanding. The lower level always is integrated into the higher. Higher level contains the lower levels also. But every level has its own validity and utility within its own sphere. And then we have to understand, through this analogy, the nature of reality. All manifestation, that means the entire creation, is ultimately one being taking different forms. Lower degrees of reality are always included in higher degrees. And nothing is lost when the absolute is realized. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Most important next point, practical application. Theoretical knowledge must be transformed into experiential wisdom. Each level of understanding provides freedom within its sphere. Real mastery comes through integration with one's own being. Each level of understanding provides some freedom. For example, if you know how to drive, you are free to drive a vehicle, and it is much better than walking, etc. Then the role of understanding. What is the role of understanding? True knowledge involves comprehending both bondage and freedom. And understanding must be coupled with practical application. Freedom is proportional to the depth of our understanding. These are some of the important points. So the Upanishad emphasizes that spiritual progress requires a systematic approach where each level of reality is fully understood, mastered before moving to higher levels. And the Upanishad also stresses that ultimate freedom doesn't come through mere accumulation of knowledge, but through the progressive integration of understanding with one's being, culminating in the realization of the universal self. A small illustration from Sri Ramakrishna. There was a king. You devotees of Sri Ramakrishna, and you who are accustomed to study the gospel of Sri Ramakrishna must remember all these points. There was a king, he wanted to study Bhagavatam, and he employed a pandit and the pandit will come every day. He was a real pandit and he will explain everything. At the end he asks, "O king, have you understood?" The king understood from the very beginning the essence of the Bhagavatam. What is the essence? That be devoted to Hari and develop devotion and reach Hari and be with him, be united with him. But the pandit did not understand. So every night, from the very first night, "O king, I explained, have you understood?" And the king's usual reply was, "First you try to understand and then come and teach me." And the pandit, first he thought the king was making fun. Later on, he started, "Whether, what is the point? The king is very sincere, very devoted, but every day he is replying, asking me, you understand. Am I missing something?" That day, his life became transformed. "Am I missing something?" And then he earnestly prayed to God. He must have been a real sincere sadhaka. And then, "O Lord, I do not understand. Why is the king questioning my knowledge? I have studied many commentaries and I am a great teacher explaining simply, but still am I missing something?" And then he understood. What is the essence of the Bhagavatam, which the king seemed to have understood at the very beginning, that if you have really understood Bhagavatam, everything else is unsubstantial. God alone is substantial. Surrender yourself to Narayana, and that he is the only savior, there is nobody else. And that day, he became enlightened, and then he sent, "O king, I understood Bhagavatam, I cannot teach you, please employ somebody," and he went away. Most marvelous stories we have to understand. So, the ultimate mukti doesn't come through accumulation of knowledge, but through the progressive integration of understanding with the self, Atman, culminating in the realization of universal self. Not only I am Brahman, the whole world is also Brahman. So, this particular Upanishad starts bringing together two of the greatest, great teacher and great disciple together. And as I said, in the seventh chapter, Brahman is called Bhuma. Bhuma means the infinite, the limitless. And as I mentioned, Bhuma has two meanings. One is called Ananta or infinite. Another is called Ananda or Brahmananda. So the sixth chapter, the Sadvastu is described. In the seventh chapter, the Ananda was characteristic is being discussed. And in the next chapter, the Chitvastu is going to be discussed. So in the entire universe, there is no Ananda. It is only from Brahman, whatever Ananda we get. But if we cling to the normal objects, that's what he concludes. Alpe na sukham asti. Alpe sukham na asti means alpe, that which is limited. Sukham na asti. There is no happiness. And thereafter, the Upanishad tells how to attain to that state. And very interestingly, as I mentioned earlier, Sushupti is a great model for Atmananda. Why do I say so? Because we think without object we cannot obtain Ananda. But Sushupti crystal clearly points out no need for any object. Where there is absence of object, there is also automatically absence of subject. So this, that is called Ananda. Ananda means beyond the limitations of time, space and causation. Do not expect excitement, which we call sukha, pleasure. But Vidyaranya, he has written a beautiful book called Panchadashi, means consisting of Panchadasha Adhyayas, 15 chapters, and the last 5 chapters convey this idea. And these chapters are very aptly titled as Brahmanande Yoganandaha, Brahmanande Atmanandaha, Brahmanande Advaitanandaha, Brahmanande Vidyanandaha, Brahmanande Vishayanandaha. This is just for those who are interested. So, this is the essence. So, this 7th chapter is divided into 26 khandas. As I mentioned earlier, in the whole Chandogya, first to fifth chapters are gradations of upasanas, many upasanas describing the nature of the world and the sufferings that are the results. But the real Atma Vidya starts only 6th, 7th and 8th, dealing with Sat, Ananda and Chit. And this 7th chapter is divided into 26 sections, khandas. Each section, of course, is divided into some mantras. So, first of all, we will enter into the first section in today's class. Upanishad introduces a guru and a sishya, and Brahma Vidya is given in the form of a dialogue between guru and sishya. Who is the guru? Sanat Kumara, the spiritual son of Brahma. And who is the disciple? Narada. We will just enter into this. This long introduction I have given should help us if you have listened it, otherwise go through it again. And that will make this is the essence of 7th chapter. If you can keep that in mind, every sentence of the mantra becomes meaningful. Now, I will read out the first mantra in this 7th chapter, first section, first mantra. Adhi Bhagava Itiha Upasada Sanat Kumaram Naradaha Tamha Uvacha Yatvetha Tena Ma Upasida Tattasya Urdhvam Vakshyamiti Saha Uvacha. Om. Narada approached Sanat Kumara as a pupil and said, "Venerable sir, please teach me." Sanat Kumara said to him, "Please tell me what you already know. Then only I know what to teach you. I shall tell you what is beyond." And Narada approaches Sanat Kumara properly. This is the Shankara's commentary. Properly means what? According to Shastric rules. What is Shastric rules? That Samit Panihi, that is, with complete self-surrender, I am ready to burn my own opinions and I am ready to make way, to make room for your opinions. So, Sanat Kumara replied, "Please, first of all, I am willing to teach you, but let me know what you know so that I do not need to repeat it." And then we are going to get into a beautiful dialogue, very, very indescribably crystal clear dialogue. Now we enter into the second mantra. What is the second mantra? In answer to the question of Sanat Kumara, Narada is telling what he had already mastered. As I said, he was a walking encyclopedia of Vedic knowledge, which includes everything, paravidya and aparavidya. But paravidya, not as a matter of realization, but as a theoretical knowledge. Remember that one. This is the answer Narada is telling to Sanat Kumara in answer to his question, "What do you already know?" And then he says, "Rigvedam Bhagavo Adhyemi, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, Atharvanam Chaturtham, Itihasa Puranam Panchamam, Vedanam Vedam, Pitriyam, Rashim, Daivam, Nidhim, Vako Vakyam, Ekayanam, Deva Vidyam, Brahma Vidyam, Bhuta Vidyam, Kshatra Vidyam, Nakshatra Vidyam, Sarpa Vidyam, Deva Jana Vidyam, Etad Bhagavo Adhyemi." There are so many things. I think he understood. I have to be brief, otherwise the guru's time. As some of the devotees come to me, I have a question. And the interview is for 45 minutes. 43 minutes is only the question, explaining the question. And then say, "Swamiji, I am so grateful. Your teaching has enlightened me totally." And then they make pranams. And then I am also happy. I need not open my mouth. What was Narada replying? "Venerable sir, I know the Rig Veda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, Atharvana Veda, as the fourth." So, Rig Veda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, three, Atharvana Veda, the fourth. And then, I know the Itihasas and Puranas, Ramayana and Mahabharata, and ancient lore Itihas, as the fifth. This is called Panchama Veda. Mahabharata especially is called Panchama Veda. And the Veda of the Vedas, that is Vyakarana, Sanskrit grammar. I will explain to you later on. And then the rules of sacrifices by which the pitrus means means are gratified. Then the science of numbers called Rashim. Then the science of interpreting portents. That is, if the cat passes from the left to the right, or if a crow crows before journey, these are called Daiva. And then the science of time, logic, ethics, etymology, then Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya means all the auxiliaries to understand. Here Brahma means not Brahman. Brahma means Veda, Veda Vidya. To understand Vedas, we have got six Shat Angas are there. Like the Siksha, Kalpa, Nirupta, Chandas, etc. And then I also know what is called, how to do the science of elemental spirits. That is, here it is called Bhautika Shastra. That means the physics, the chemistry, the zoology, the ornithology, etc. And then Kshatra Vidya, the science of weapons. The Nakshatra Vidya, astronomy and astrology. And then the science of serpents. That means the science of how to cure poisons, various poisons. And then Devajana Vidya means all the aesthetic sciences, fine arts. All this I know, Venerable Sir, I have mastered. So that is what he wants to tell. So very briefly, I want to say, first of all, he said four Vedas. Rig Veda, Yajurveda, Sama Veda, Atharvan Veda. Then Vedanam Veda. That is called Vedic grammar. There are two types of grammars. That is, one is Laukika, another is Vaidika. Vaidika Vyakaran is very useful to understand the Vedanta, that is Upanishadic and Vedic mantras. Laukika is useful for understanding Laukika knowledge. Then Daivam. Daivam means the capacity to predict the future based on various indications like the meteors falling, etc., etc. Future prediction is called Daivam. Vako Vakyam. That means how to understand a particular sentence by Tarkashastra. There is the science of logic. And all these are called Aparavidyas only. But further, Aparavidya is called Avidya. Paravidya is called knowledge of Brahman. So Narada is enumerating what he knows. Rashim. Rashim means mathematics, Ganita Shastra. Then Daivam. The capacity to predict the future from various indirect indications, Utpaka, Jnanam, Daivam. Nidhim, that is, by just without digging earth, how to know where copper is lying, steel is lying, and plutonium is lying, and then gold is lying, diamonds are lying, like Aladdin lamp, without digging, because after digging we also know. Without digging, the capacity to know is called Nidhijnana. Then Ekayanam is called Niti Shastra or Morality Dharma Shastra. Deva Vidya, that is, as I said, Deva Vidya means, Shankaracharya says, Nirukta Shastra, etymology, and Siksha, Vyakarana, etc. Brahma Vidya, how to understand, here Brahma means Veda, how to understand Vedas. Six Angas are there, like Siksha, Vyakarana, Nirukta, Chandas, etc. So, then we have got Kalpaha. Kalpa means etymology. Rituals mentioned in the Vedas. Chandas means knowledge of Vedic meters like Gayatri, Ushnik, etc. So, all these are called auxiliaries to understand Vedas. Then Bhuta Vidya. Bhuta Vidya means the material sciences like physics, chemistry, etc. Kshatra Vidya means science of archery or warfare, anything that helps us. Nakshatra Vidya, it includes both astronomy and astrology. Sarpa Vidya, knowledge about various types of poisons and how to neutralize them and bring a person back to life. That is called Sarpa Vidya, that is also called Garuda Vidya. Then Devajana Vidya means all the fine, 64 fine arts. All this knowledge I mastered. It is sufficient for our purpose if we take the subject listed here as representing all the knowledge that was existing at the time of Narada. That means it was a walking encyclopedia. What is the point? His extensive knowledge could not make him happy, peaceful. Therefore, he has got a restless mind. Therefore, there is no shanti. Therefore, he approached Sanat Kumara, and Narada himself understood through self-objectification, this is all completely useless. This is what Sri Ramakrishna means. I don't want this chal, kola, bende vidya. I want that by which I can be eternally happy. We will discuss these marvelous subjects in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May the Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.